ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவ சமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். ஜிஜ்ஞாசாதிகரணம் அதாதோ பிரம்ம ஜிஜ்ஞாசாம் ஜன்மாத்யதிகரணம் ஜன்மாத்யஸ்யயதஹ சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாதிகரணம் சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாத் சமன்வயாதிகரணம் தத்து சமன்வயாத். ஃபஸ்ட் சாப்டர் தேர்ட் பாதா. திவ்வாத்யதிகரணம் திவ்வாத்யாயதனம் ஸ்வசப்தாத் முக்தோபசிருப்ய வ்யபதேசாத் ந அனுமானம் அதச்சப்தாத் பிராணபிருச்ச பேதவ்யபதேசாத் பிரகரணாத் ஸ்தித்யதனாப்யாஞ்ச பூமாதிகரணம் பூமா சம்ப்ரசாதாத் அத்யுபதேசாத் தர்மோபபத்தேஷ்ச அக்ஷராதிகரணம் அக்ஷரம்பராத அந்தர்த்ருதே சாச்ச பிரசாசனாத் அன்யபாவ வியாவ்ருத்தேஷ்ச ஈக்ஷதி கர்ம விபதேசாதிகரணம் ஈக்ஷதி கர்ம விபதேசாத் சஹாம் தஹராதிகரணம் தஹர உத்தரேப்யஹ கதிசப்தாப்யாம் ததாஹி த்ருஷ்டம் லிங்கஞ்ச திருதேஷ்ச மஹிம்னஹ அஸ்ய அஸ்மின் உபலப்தேஹே பிரசித்தேஷ்ச இதர பராமர்ஷாத் சைதி சேத் நாசம் பவதி உத்தராச்சேத் ஆவிர்பூத ஸ்வரூபஸ்து அன்யார்த்தஸ்ச பராமர்ஷஹ அல்பஶ்ருதேரிதி சேத் ததுக்தம் அனுக்ருத்யதி கரணம் அனுக்ருதேஸ்தஸ்ய ச அபி ச ஸ்மர்யதே பிரமிதாதிகரணம் சப்தாதேவ பிரமிதா கிருத்யுபதேக்ஷயாது மனுஷ்யாதிகார அதிகாரத்வாத் தேவதாதிகரணம் தௌபர்யபி பாதராயணஹா சம்பவாத் விரோதஹாம் கர்மணீதி சேத் அநேக பிரதிபத்தேஹே தர்ஷனாத் சப்த இதி சேத் ந அத பிரபவாத் பிரத்யக்ஷ அனுமானாப்யாம் அத ஏவ ச நித்யத்வம் சமானநாமரூபத்வாச்ச ஆவ்ருத்தௌ அபி அவிரோதஹம் தர்ஷனாஸ்மிருதே ச மத்வாதிஷு அசம்பவாத் அநாதிகாரம் ஜெய்மினிஹி ஜோதிஷி பாவாச்ச பாவம் து பாதராயணா அஸ்தி அபசூத்ராதிகரணம் சுகஸ்ய தத் அநாதரஸ்ரவணாத் தத் ஆத்ரவணாத் சூச்சதேஹி க்ஷத்ரியத்வாவகதேஷ்ச உத்தரத்ர சைத்ரரதேன லிங்காத் சம்ஸ்கார பராமர்ஷாத் ததபாவ அபிலாபாச்ச ததபாவ நிர்தாரணே ச ப்ரவ்ருத்தேஹே ஸ்ரவணாத்யாயனார்த்த ப்ரதிஷேதாத் ஸ்மிருதேஷ்ச கம்பனாதிகரணம் கம்பனாத் ஜோதிரதிகரணம் ஜோதிர்தர்ஷனாத் அர்த்தாந்தரந்தத்யபதேசாதிகரணம் ஆகாஷா அர்த்தாந்தரத்வாதிவபதேசாத் சுஷுப்த உக்ராந்தியதிகரணம் சுஷுப்த உக்ராந்தியே உக்ராந்தியோ பேதேன. We are seeing the 42nd sutra of the third pada of first chapter, the 105th running Brahma Sutra. And we are doing the general analysis of Sutra 42 in the final adhikaranam. This is the final adhikaranam of the third pada. An expression from the 6th chapter of Brihadaranyaka that is now taken for discussion. And in this adhikaranam, Vyasacharya analyzes mantra 4.3.7, 4th chapter, 3rd section, 7th mantra of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad of the Swayam Jyoti Brahmanam. Katama Atmeti யோயம் விஜயானமய பிராணேஷு ஹிருத்யந்தர் ஜோதிஹி புருஷா. தட் இஸ் த ரெலவெண்ட் போர்ஷன் ஆஃப் தட் பர்டிகுலர் மந்த்ரா. யூ மே ரிமெம்பர் தி கான்டெக்ஸ்ட் ஆஃப் டிஸ்கஷன் ஆல்சோ பிட்வீன் ஜனகா அண்ட் யாக்ஞவல்க்யா. அண்ட் யாக்ஞவல்க்யா பாயிண்ட்ஸ் அவுட் தட் ஆத்மா இஸ் தி லைட் இன் ஹூஸ் பிரசன்ஸ் ஆல் டிரான்சாக்ஷன்ஸ் டேக் பிளேஸ். அண்ட் வென் யாக்ஞவல்க்யா டாக்ஸ் அபவுட் தி ஆத்ம ஜோதி, the question was what atma it is, and Yajnavalkya answers that atma is purushaha which is the Chaitanyam obtaining in the Hridaya. And he uses the word Atma here, and there is a confusion whether it is Jivatma or Paramatma. And we have established that it is Paramatma only. And we keep in mind two mantras occurring in the same Brahmanam, Swayam Jyoti Brahmanam, that is 4.3.21 and 4.3.35 of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And in this context, the 4.3.21, that Upanishad mantra uses the word Prajnenam Atmana Samparishvaktaha. Prajnenam Atmana Samparishvaktaha. And in 4.3.35, it says Prajnenam Atmana Anvarudaha. So at the time of Sushupti, the Jivatma or Jiva merges into Atma. So in the expression Jivatma merges into Atma, Atma cannot be Jivatma, and Jiva merges into Jivatma cannot be accepted. And therefore, Atma should be translated as Paramatma only. Jivatma merges into Paramatma. And at the time of Marana, the Jiva travels from one body to another. And how does it travel? Jiva travels mounting on the Atma, as a ride on the Atma. That means Atma cannot be translated into Jivatma, which could mean Jiva mounts on Jivatma and travels. That would be meaningless. Therefore, we must take it as Jivatma travels on Paramatma in the right expression. Therefore, clearly, Jivatma is different from Paramatma. Evam bedena vyapadeshat atmanaha jivat bedena vyapadeshat atma shabdaha paramatma paraha eva natu jivatma paraha. This is what we did yesterday. This is the general analysis. Now we will take the word analysis. We have to supply certain words. First word we supply is Atma. The word Atma occurring in 4.3.7 of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. That is Brahma. That Atma is Brahma. So it is Paramatma only. And Vyapadeshat, we borrow from the previous sutra here. So Vyapadeshaha means it is said, it is mentioned. Kathanam, Uktihi. So since it is said, it means the Atma is said. Bhedena. Bhedena means to be different. And then you supply another word, Jivatmanaha. So from Jivatma, it is different. When Sushupti Ukrantayoho, in the statements dealing with sleep, sleep means Sushupti, and Ukrantayoho is Maranam. So in mantras 4.3.21 and 35 of Brihadaranyaka, dealing with sleep and death, Sushupti Ukranti, Vakyayoho, in those two Vakyas. Sushupti Vakye, Utkranti Vakye cha. Sushupti and Marana. So Sushupti Vakya is in 4.3.21 and Utkranti Vakya is in 4.3.35. Abhrigadaranyaka. In both the mantras, Atma is differentiated from Jiva. Therefore, Atma should be taken as Paramatma only. Now the Purvapakshi comes. He says, you conveniently quote those mantras where Atma means Paramatma. They are all direct quotations. Here itself, there are mantras which refer to Atma as Jivatma. And how do you choose to interpret Atma is Paramatma? Here itself, he doesn't have to go anywhere. In the same place, he has enough quotation. In 4.3.7 of Brihadaranyaka itself, the Upanishad says, Atma is in the Hridayam. Yoyam Vijnanamayaha Praneshu Hridi Antarjyotihi. Hridi in the Hridayam. The very fact that Atma is given a location indicates that it is Jivatma only, because Paramatma being all pervading, you cannot locate. It is unlocated. Therefore, where location comes, it refers to Jivatma only. And not only that, Upanishad uses the expression Praneshu. Praneshu, it is closely associated with the indriyas or organs. Yesterday I mentioned prana here means indriyas, organs. So we also said the Samipya Saptami, we mentioned the last class yesterday. So it is very closely connected with prana. Prana means indriyas. Therefore, prana sambandha also is indicated. So it is jivatma only. Location also indicates it is jivatma, and prana sambandha also indicates it is jivatma. And in the next mantra, 4.3.8, the Upanishad itself further talks about the atma. And what does it say there? Sava ayam purushaha jayamanaha shariram abhisampadyamanaha. What more clearly you want? Purupakshi asks. That very same hridi antapurushaha atma jayamanaha, it is subject to birth, and shariram abhisampadyamanaha, so papmabhihi sagumsrijyate, it is associated with papam. And atham utkramam mriyam mriyamana papmano jahati, it gets associated with papas. Papmano jahati, associated with papas, exhausts papas and quits. All are descriptions of what? Not definitely Paramatma, they are all for Jivatma only. And you try to cover up all of them, Purupakshi says Siddhanti. You try to cover up all of them, and not only that, in the next mantra, what does Upanishad say? Tasya va etasya purushasya dve eva sthane bhavataha sandhyam tritiyam swapnam sthanam tasmin sandhye sthane tittan yete ube sthane anupashyati. It says the atma is associated with three avasthas, sthanams. Here sthana means avastha. And all avasthas are associated with jivatma only. Paramatma has no avastha. And later in another mantra also, the Upanishad, same Upanishad says, sava yesha yetasmin samprasade ratva charitva drishvaiva punyancha papancha punaha pratinyayam pratinyonya dravati drishvaiva punyancha papancha. This jivatma, it experiences punyam and papam in jagrat avastha and swapna avastha. And all these clearly refer to only jivatma. And hence the Purvapaksha says, atma means jivatma only. He has enough proofs to say that. Now Siddhanti, he has to answer. And he says, I do not say that jivatma is not talked about at all. Yes, it is talked about. But what we say is, Yajnavalkya subject matter, that is the point of argument here. Yajnavalkya subject matter is Paramatma only. Subject matter of revelation, the tatparyam, the purpose of the prakaranam is only Paramatma alone, which is distinguished from Jivatma in all these mantras, 4.3.21 and 4.3.35, and which is talked about later also. So Paramatma is the subject matter is our conclusion. Then the Purvapakshi asks another question. Okay, now you agree that Jivatma is talked about. Okay, he is happy. And Paramatma also is talked about. Then how do you know that Paramatma is subject matter and not Jivatma? Both are talked about, you yourself say. How do you know that Paramatma is the subject matter and not Jivatma? Then we say, apply the principle of Mimamsa. When different topics are discussed, there should be one main topic, Tatparya Vishaya, and others will not be Tatparya Vishayas, that we have to analyze. And we say, on analysis, we come to know Jivatma cannot be the theme of discussion at all. And we have to give the reasons. What are the reasons? Any number of reasons can be given. Let us say, first reason, Jivatma is not an unknown thing for Yajnavalkya to teach. Why should Yajnavalkya teach Jivatma? It is already known. In fact, we have got Aparoksha Jnana Nishta in Jivatma. We don't have to do any Nididhyasanam to say, I am samsari. We have Nishta also in samsaritvam. So Jivatma is not Apurva Vishaya. If you remember all those conditions, Apurvata, Apurva Vishaya. And Jivatma is not Anadigata Vishaya also. All these terms I have used here is Anadigata Vishaya. And it is already known. whereas the subject matter it, that is unknown. The anadigata vishaya, apurva vishaya, is only Paramatma. Therefore, that alone can be subject matter of the Swayam Jyoti Brahmana. This is first reason. And the second reason he gives is, during the course of the dialogue, Swayam Jyoti Brahmana is a long dialogue between Janaka and the Yajnavalkya, as I told the story. Off and on, Janaka says, very nice, Yajnavalkya, very nice. I like your teaching. You've done a great job to me. I'm so happy. So what he says, evam evaitat yajnavalkyam soham bhagavate sahasram dadami ata urdvam vimokshaya eva bruhi. Evam evaitat yajnavalkya, wonderful teaching yajnavalkya, so happy. Soham bhagavate sahasram dadami, 1,000 cows I will give you as guru dakshina, because you did a great job. And what does he say? He doesn't stop there and says further, ata urdvam vimokshaya eva bruhi. That is important. The urdvam vimokshaya eva bruhi, please teach me further so that I will attain liberation, vimokshaya. Not once, he says many, many times. Evam evaitat yajnavalkya soham bhagavate sahasram dadami ata urdvam vimokshaya eva bruhi. Then again Yajnavalkya starts, and again Janaka repeats all these same things, give so many thousands of cows. They are given to Yajnavalkya. But that is not important. What is important is, atham urdvam vimokshaya eva bruhi. So the tatparyam is what? Moksha sadhana bodhanam, or moksha. Can jivatma jnanam give moksha to anyone? And if that is so, we would all have been liberated long ago. Therefore also, it is very clear that both Jivatma and Paramatma are talked about. But the purpose of the teaching is Paramatma alone, and therefore Atma Shabdaha Mukhyataya Paramatmanaha Evam Prayujyate Asmin Prakarane. So this is our argument. For this, the Purvapaksha again puts another question. He doesn't want to stop. He says, okay, Jivatma is already known, and there is no tatparya in discussing that. Paramatma alone is moksha sadhanam. Therefore, that alone has to be taught. All these are fine. If Jivatma is already known and need not be taught, why should that be taught at all in this prakaranam and confuse everyone? Yajnavalkya could have taught Paramatma itself, and would have avoided confusion also by not discussing Jivatma. So why all this confusion? This is Purvapakshi's question. Now Siddhanti comes and he says, not so, my dear Purvapakshi. Jivatma is talked about in the beginning and Paramatma is talked about at the end. Because unfortunately or fortunately, Jivatma and Paramatma are not totally different. Paramatma plus all attributes, gunas, is Jivatma. And Jivatma minus all attributes is Paramatma. In fact, I am Paramatma. By what logic? This is called Bhagatyaga Lakshanaya. Bhagatyaga Lakshanam means you remove the thing that is irrelevant. So if my attributes are negated, my attributes are all negated, that saguna chaitanyam minus attributes is equal to nirguna chaitanyam. Saguna chaitanyam is jivatma, nirguna chaitanyam is paramatma, visishta chaitanyam is jivatma, guna visishta chaitanyam is jivatma. We have mentioned all those terms earlier. Upahita chaitanyam is paramatma, and that is why the Upanishad introduces jivatma with attributes and then negates attributes to reveal Paramatma. And this is called Jivatma Anuvadena Paramatma Bodhana. Introduce the Jivatma, negate the attributes, and reveal the Paramatma. Introduction of Jivatma is called Anuvadaha, and negation of Paramatma is revealed later. This is why, if you see mantra 4.3.7 that we said earlier, in that mantra itself, the Upanishad talks about Atma as the Jivatma associated with organs. that the word prana, as I mentioned earlier, prana mentioned there talks about organs. Associated with the organs, Jivatma does varieties of activities. It is a karta, it is a bhokta, all those. And in this context, Upanishad uses a very, very important expression in 4.3.7. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 4th chapter, 3rd section, 7th mantra. What is that mantra? Kathama atmeti yoyam vijnanamayaha praneshu hridyantar jyotihi vijnanamayaha praneshu hridyantar jyotihi purushasya samanaha sanne ubau lokau anusancharati dhyayati iva lelayati iva sahi swapno bhutvemam lokam atikramati mrityo rupani dhyayati iva lelayati iva. By saying that as though, iva means as though, involved in activities, that as though expression indicates all the activities are only as though activities, no real activities. And don't really take it to Jivatma. That is karta, kartrutvam is equal to karta minus kartrutvam is equal to paramatma. Karta minus kartrutvam is equal to paramatma. Bhokta minus bhoktrutvam is equal to paramatma. So by this ivakara, the Upanishad negates the attributes saying as though. Thus Jivatma anuvadena, Jivatma dharma mityatva bodhena cha paramatmanam bodhyati shrutihi. And again later, it does talk about the three avasthas. And the Upanishad talks about the sukha, dukkha, anubhavas also, which is explicitly the discussion of Jivatma only. Sukham and dukkham are only for Jivatma, not for Paramatma. But later, if you analyze, it is very interesting. Sava yesham yetasmin buddhante ratva charitva drishtvaivam punyancha papancha punaha pratinyayam pratiyonyadravati. It says, Atma experiences pleasures and pains. In these are three avasthas. And then Upanishad says, Sam yatatra kinchit pasyati ananvagataha tena bhavati. Whatever Jivatma experiences there, Jivatma is not associated with those sukha and dukkha. And why it does not stick to that? Asangohi ayam purushaha. Brahmagyanavali mala we recited once. Asangoham, asangoham, asangohi ayam purushaha. Upanishad says Jivatma is really asangaha. And therefore, it does not have punyam and papam. Jivatma minus punya papa is paramatma. Therefore, it introduces Jivatma along with punya papa. And then negates the punya papa, thus showing that minus the punya papa, Jivatma itself is asangaha paramatma eva. Therefore, what is the purpose of introducing Jivatma now? It is essentially to reveal the Paramatma, because Jivatma minus attributes is equal to Paramatma one. And then comes the Purvapakshi again. Why should Upanishad take to this indirect method to reveal Nirguna Chaitanya? First introduce Saguna Chaitanya and remove the attributes and then reveal the Nirguna Chaitanya. Why all this roundabout way? It's a wasteful exercise. Why not reveal Nirguna Chaitanya directly itself? Parisiddhanti says, unfortunately, Nirguna Chaitanyam is uncommunicable by all means. Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. Taitriya. Nirguna Chaitanyam requires a container called guna. And Chaitanyam is brought to us and afterwards has to remove the container and drink the content, the Nirguna Chaitanyam. For example, if I say bring water, then you bring water in a glass and automatically you bring the water in a glass, and when I have not asked you to bring the glass, then again I drink the water and return the glass. Because both of us know water cannot be brought by itself. And even that, he has to bring in his hand also. So the idea is what? The container is needed, and water means water plus container. When I ask for water, it means water plus container. When I ask you to bring water, suppose I say, I drank water. Then I take water only and not the glass. I cannot take the glass. It is nirupadika water when I drink. And when I say bring water, it is sopadika water. We should always drop the gunas and take only nirguna chaitanya. You should take consciousness obtaining in the body, but remove the location which belongs to the body, mind and all that. And when I say aham brahma asmi, what does it mean? You should take Brahman only and should not take the attributes. And this filtering job is what? This is called Bhaga Tyaga Lakshana. Bhaga Tyaga Lakshana means this. Bring banana means you bring banana with the skin only. But when I say I ate banana, it is the skin that I don't eat. It is Bhaga Tyaga Lakshana. So Jivatma is Anuvada Vakyam and Paramatma is Tatparya Vishaya. And therefore, there should not be any confusion at all if you do analysis and try to understand the statement properly. This is our answer to the Purva Paksha. Now with this, that Adhikaranam is over. Now let us go to the next sutra of this Adhikaranam. Patyadhi Shabdebhyaha. Padyadi Shabdebhyaha. What is third sutra? Third pada, first chapter. 106th running Brahma Sutra. So the argument in support of the previous sutra is given here, Sutra 42. Purva Paksha, even though we said all those, he is still not convinced, in spite of various clarifications that were given. So Vyasacharya, he gives further support. The subject matter of Atma started where? In 4.3.7 of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And the discussion continues in the fourth Brahmanam also. That is Sharira Brahmanam of Brihadaranyaka. So in Sharira Brahmanam also, in the fourth Brahmanam, third one Swayam Jivatim, and then it continues. And he talks about Punarjanma of Jivatma there. Just as a worm, he gives an analogy. Just as a worm leaves from one leaf to another. You can always see a worm leaving from one leaf to the another. So also, the Jivatma leaves one body to another after death. And the topic is completed in fourth chapter, fourth section, mantra 22 of Brihadaranyaka. And the very important mantra, it's a long mantra. Here we find, Yoyam Vijnanamayaha Praneshu Yeshontar Hridaya Akashaha Tasmin Chete Sarvasya Vashi. So it's a long mantra. And Atma within the body, along with sense organs, and the same is Yoyam Vijnanamayaha, that is said in 4.3.7. This is what I just now read, is 4.4.22, a later mantra. But the same is said, Yoyam Vijnanamayaha, in 4.3.7. Yoyam Atmanam Praneshu Hridyantar Jyotihi Purushaha. And also Savayesha Mahanaja Atma. So this Chaitanyam obtaining in the heart, Hridi, is not located in the body, and it is Sarvagata Atma, all-pervading Atma. And not only that, it is Ajaha, Mahanaja Atma, Mahan Ajaha. Ajaha means it is Najayate, not born, no birth. And further it says, Sarvasya Vashi. Sarvasya Ishanaha, Sarvasya Adhipatihi. Mantra says all that. Jivatma is Dasa, is only a servant. Paramatma is the Adhipati, the Lord of all creation. Not only that, Sana Saduna Karmana Bhuya Naha Evam Asaduna Kaniyan. It is not affected by good deeds, Saduna Karmana, or bad deeds, Asaduna. That is, Papa Punya, it is not affected by any of them. Esha Sarveshwaraha, ఏష భూతాధిపతి, ఏష భూతపాల, ఏష తే సేతుర్విధరణ, ఏషాం లోకానాం అసంభేదాయ తమేతం వేదానువచనేన బ్రాహ్మణ వివిధిషంతి. ద మంత్రా గోస్ ఆన్ అండ్ ఆన్, ఇట్స్ లాంగ్ మంత్ర, ఆల్ ఇండికేటింగ్ ఆత్మ ఈజ్ పరమాత్మ ఓన్లీ. ఇట్ ఈస్ టు నో దిస్ ఆత్మ పీపుల్ టేక్ టు వేరియస్ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ సాధనాస్. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ అఫెక్టెడ్ బై ఎనీథింగ్. ఇట్ ఇండికేట్స్ దట్ ఆత్మ ఇంట్రడ్యూస్డ్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఏ మిసరబుల్ జీవాత్మ, బట్ వాట్ ఇట్ ఇండికేట్స్ ఇస్ ద గ్లోరియస్ పరమాత్మ. దిస్ ఈస్ ది జనరల్ అనాలిసిస్ ఆఫ్ ది సూత్ర. Now let us go to the word analysis. First let us apply the word Atma occurring in where? 4.3.7 of Brihadaranyaka, that is Brahman only. Atma is Brahman only, not Jivatma. Because of the usage of the expressions like the Lord, etc., all those things, Adipatihi, all that he said. So in 4.4.22 that mantra also we read. And the expression kept in mind is what? Sarvasya Adipatihi Yesha Bhutadipatihi, that sentence that I just read. The one which maintains the order of creation, that indicates the Atma Shabda indicates Paramatma only. Who can maintain order of creation? Jivatma cannot. Pati Adi, those Shabdaha. Pati means Lord. Adipatihi, Bhutadipatihi. And Adi means etc. Sarvasya Ishanaha, Shabdaha. So all those expressions. Because of these expressions, Atma is Paramatma only. With that, this Adhikarshan Anamasa is concluded. Now we have to do the conclusion in our regular way, five-factor conclusion. The subject matter, Vishayaha, of this Adhikaranam is what? Atma. Occurring where? 4.3.7. As I mentioned, in all these Brahma Sutras, we have to tell exactly the context where the particular thing Vishayavakyam is taken. Because contextually it could be different. So it cannot cause confusion. So the word Atma occurring in 4.3.7 of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And the samshaya, the doubt is what? Is it Jivatma or Paramatma? And then the Purvapakshi says, it is Jivatma only because of location, association with organs, all the avasthas, Punarjanma, because of all these reasons, it is only Jivatma according to Purvapakshi. And the Siddhanta says, Atma refers to Paramatman only. And the main reason is what? Janaka's question and Yajnavalkya's answer. It is Moksha Prakaranam. He wants for Moksha. Therefore, Paramatma alone, he gave 1,000 cows each time, thousands of cows each time. Therefore, Paramatma alone can be the subject matter. Then fifth factor is Sangati, that is, it is occurring in the right place, right position only. So with this last Adhikaranam, the third Pada of chapter 1 is also over. And we had said that the first Pada is what? Is Spashtalinga Brahma Vakyam. And second and third, they deal with Aspashtalinga Brahma Vakyam. Actually, yesterday somebody wrote in the chat, there is a Jyotir Adhikaranam in the first Pada also. But the linga used there is Spashta Brahma Lingas. Whereas when we do it in third Pada is Aspashta Linga Brahma Lingas. That's the difference between these two. And second and the third Padas, they deal with Aspashta Linga Brahma Vakyas. And in all the three Padas, we only take statements in which Brahman is not clearly revealed. In all of them, we prove it is Brahman only through Brahma Lingani, the indicators, either Spashtalingas or Aspashtalingas. And in the first Pada, the indicators are all very clear. And in the second and the third Padas, the clues are all vague and unclear. Brahman is vague in all the three Padas. Brahman is vague in all the three Padas, but the Lingas are not vague in the first Pada. They are vague in the second and third. We should understand that clearly. So the question is, second Pada also deals with Aspashta Brahmalingas, and third Pada also deals with Aspashta Brahmalingas. Then why there is a difference between the second and third Pada? They could have clubbed both together and made one Pada. This is a difficult issue. In second Pada, it deals with ఉపాసన ఫలవాక్యాన్ని, ఆల్ ది ఫలవాక్యా, ఆల్ దీస్ వాక్యా దే టాక్ అబౌట్ ఉపాసనా ఫలం. అండ్ ఇన్ ద థర్డ్ పాదం ఇట్ డీల్స్ విత్ అస్పష్ట బ్రహ్మలింగ జ్ఞాన ఫలవాక్యాన్ని. ప్రీవియస్ వన్ ఇస్ ఉపాసనా ఫలం, దిస్ ఈస్ జ్ఞాన ఫలవాక్యాన్ని. అండ్ హియర్ ఆల్సో వీ గెట్ ఇన్ ప్రాబ్లమ్. వాట్ ఇస్ ద ప్రాబ్లమ్? ఇన్ సెకండ్ పాద ఆల్సో ఉపాసన జ్ఞాన ఫలవాక్యాస్ ఆర్ దేర్ and this we see in the third pada also. Then can we say that more upasana palavakyas are there in the previous one, not this? That is also not correct. Really speaking, second and the third pada division is unexplainable. In the second pada there are 7 adhikaranas, and of that, this I have mentioned earlier, of these, first adhikaranam, fourth adhikaranam and seventh adhikaranams are upasana para adhikaranas. They concentrate on upasanas. And the other 4 adhikaranas, 2, 3, 5, and 6, they talk about jnana paravakyas. They are there in those adhikaranas. And this is in the second pada. And if you take the third pada, adhikaranas 4 and 5 are upasana para. They are mostly dealing with upasanas. Adhikaranas 8 and 9, they are adhikara para, qualifications. And the rest of the 9 are jnana para. So in both jnanam and upasana, both are there. They say in the second pada, the first adhikaranam and the last adhikarana, first and seventh, they are upasana para. And therefore they say it is upasana predominant. The way to invent a reason. First and seventh adhikaranams are predominantly upasanas. So they say it is upasana predominant, first and the last. And in the third pada, it does not begin and end with upasana, and so we do not say it is upasana para. This is the difference. Now let us go to the last and the fourth pada of chapter 1 of Brahma Sutra. First, let us give a brief introduction of the fourth pada, first chapter. So the previous padas, they revealed that Jagat Karanam Brahman Samanvayaha Dedit. Samanvayaha means the consistency. All Vedanta, they reveal Jagat Karanam Brahma. That was established in the 3 padas. All of them, they talk about only Jagat Karanam Brahma. First, it was Pashta Brahma Linga Vakyani, very clear Vakyas. And the second and the third padas, it was Aspashta, Aspashta Brahma Linga Vakyani, they were. The consistency, the Samanvaya, then in revealing Brahman, that is revealed in all the 3 padas. They were all consistent. And the fourth pada also the same consistency in revealing Brahman continues. So here Vyasacharya will take certain significant words occurring in the Upanishads for discussion. There is confusion in interpreting some words. While Sankhya philosophers interpret them in some way, Siddhanta is revealed the exact meaning while refuting the Sankhya views. Therefore, Padavichara, inquiry into each word, Padavichara is going to be the highlight of the fourth pada. Vakya Vichara was the highlight of the 3 previous padas, the sentences, Vakya Vichara. In the fourth pada, the Vakya Vichara will also be there, but the highlight is Padavichara. Therefore, it is called Padavichara Padaha. The fourth pada is called Padavichara Padaha. And this has got 8 adhikaranams or topics and 28 sutras. And this is the background of the fourth pada. Now let us go to the general introduction to the adhikarana. It has 7 sutras and it is called Anumanika Adhikarana. First adhikaranam is called Anumanika Adhikaranam. It has got 7 sutras. And before we go to the details of this adhikaranam, let us first read the first sutra. Anumanika Adhikaranam, 1 to 7 sutras. And the first sutra is a long sutra. Anumanika Mappekesham api Apesham iti iti chet na sharira rupaka vinyasta grihitehe darshayati cha. It's a long sutra. Here the Sankhya philosophy is being refuted in this Adhikaran. Sankhya Darshanam has got many things common to Vedanta. I might have told some of them earlier, but it is better to look at them again because we are going to be dealing more of them now in this pada. it closely appears to be Vedanta. Which one appears to be Vedanta? Sangya Darshana. Many similarities are there. Names of the philosophy are common, and Vedanta is often called the Sankhya also. This is the first common feature. Actually, the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called Sankhya Yoga. And with regard to the name of philosophy, there is a similarity also. Sankhya philosophy is authored by whom? By Kapila. Bhagavan Kapila is the revealer of Sankhya in Bhagavatam. Kapila is common to Vedanta and Sankhya. And there are many words common to Vedanta and Sankhya also. For example, Purusha, Prakriti. Purusha is Chetana Tattvam, conscious principle. And Prakriti is inert principle. And both are Anadi. Avyaktam is there in both Sankhya and Vedanta. Avyaktam means unmanifest matter, which evolves into manifest universe. Therefore, Prakriti is common, Purusha is common, Avyaktam is common, both in Sankhya and Vedanta. In both, Prakriti is presented as Karanam of universe, material cause of the universe, creation. Svetasvatara Upanishad says in the fourth chapter, tenth mantra, Mayam tu prakritim vidyan mayinam cha maheshwaram tasya vayava bhutaistu vyaptam sarvamidam jagate. Understand that Prakriti is Maya, and the wielder of controller of Maya is the great Lord, the Upanishad says. So this whole world is pervaded by beings that are part of that Lord. All the products are born out of Prakriti. So these are all common features between Vedanta and Sankhya. And these words are used in Veda itself. And also in Bhagavad Gita, we have already seen 13th chapter, 19th sloka, Prakritim Purushan Chaiva Vidyanadi Ubhavapi Vikaram Chagunam Chaiva Vidya Prakriti Sambhava. 20th sloka. So all the products are born out of Prakriti. So these are the common features, and they are used in Veda itself. Therefore, Sankhyas can claim Vedic support for their philosophy, Veda Pramanam. Veda uses the word Purusha, Prakriti, Avyaktam. And there are so many common features, including Vedic concurrence also. So they claim, the Sankhyas claim Vedic support for Sankhya philosophy. And here we want to show that they don't have Vedic support, and we say Sankhya is not Vaidika Darshanam. They claim Vedic support, all right, but we Vedantin say Sankhya is not a Vaidika Darshanam. It is seemingly Vaidikam. It is Avaidikam. At the same time, we don't say it is a Nastika Darshanam also. Should be careful. Avaidikam is not Nastika Darshanam. Buddhism is Nastika Darshanam, as they don't accept Veda Pramanam. Acceptance and not acceptance of Veda Pramanam only classifies Astika and Nastika. Therefore, they are Nastika Darshanas, all this Buddhism and all that. Sankhya is not Nastika Darshana because it accepts Shabda and Veda Pramanam. For Sankhya philosophers, Veda is secondary support and not primary support. For him, Tarka and logic, they alone, they are primary support for them. Sankhya, Nayayika, Yoga, they are all Tarka Darshanas. Well, Vedanta alone is Astika Darshana. And Sankhyas take Veda Pramana, and Veda Pramana does not have prominence, and they have Tarka prominence, and they are Paurusheya Darshana. Tarka and all Paurusheya Vishayas. Vedanta is primarily Veda-based, and therefore it is Apaurusheya Darshanam, not of human origin. Tarka is subservient to Shruti, and it is supporting Shruti, and Sankhya, because Paurusheya Darshanam, it is not Vedic teaching at all. Sankhya philosophy being Paurusheya Darshanam is not Vedic. It is Veda-based human teaching, and it is Avaidika Darshanam. Avaidika means not belonging to Vedas. Now we will see what are the dissimilarities based on Vedic Pramana and those relevant differences that are applicable to our study. That is all we have to concentrate on. We are not trying to study Sankhya philosophy. Prakriti is basic matter, which evolves the universe. And avyaktam is common to both Vedanta and Sankhya. Prakriti is known as Pradhanam in Sankhya. This I have already mentioned. Prakriti is called Pradhanam in Sankhya philosophy. And Sankhya, they call the basic matter as Pradhanam because it is a storehouse in which the entire universe is located. In what form? Potential form, dormant form. In fact, every seed can be called Pradhanam. In the seed, the entire plant or tree is located in what form? In dormant form, unmanifest form, potential form. This word Pradhanam, we don't use in Vedanta. We should understand it as basic matter as seen by Sankhya philosophers. In Vedanta also, we have got another word for Prakriti, which is unique to Vedanta, and that word is Maya or Shakti or Avidya. They are synonyms to Prakriti in Vedanta. Maya is a unique synonym for Prakriti, used only in Vedanta. Maya is basic matter as seen by Vedantins. Prakriti and Maya both are basic matter only. Now let us see of the conceptual similarity between Sankhya and Vedanta. In Sankhya philosophy, Prakriti is totally independent principle. It is independent as Purusha also in Sankhya. Purusha is independent and Prakriti is independent, and both are equally real, and therefore they are parallel reality, and they are essentially Dvaitins only. Jiva Ishvara Bheda completely. They accept Prakriti, Purusha and consciousness separately. Prakriti alone is material cause of creation. Purusha cannot be the material cause of creation. In Vedanta, there is a difference. In Vedanta also, very often we say Prakriti is material cause of creation. We put our hand on the shoulder of Sankhyas and say that Prakriti is the cause of creation. We look upon Prakriti as a dependent principle, dependent on Purusha. For them, it is independent principle. It cannot function independently for us. Prakriti is dependent on Purusha, both for existence, for its existence and for its function. Prakriti is more like Shakti or an instrument or power of Purusha in Vedanta. Whatever Prakriti does can be attributed to Purusha itself. It is because Prakriti is, after all, a power of Purusha, an instrument of Purusha. Whatever the power does, it belongs to whom? To the powerful Purusha only. And whatever instrument does, it belongs to the owner of the instrument. For example, you write with a pen. The pen is writing. Pen alone is designed to write, let us say. Pen cannot write independently. And it requires a person to write the notes. When you write the notes, for example, in the class, some people have the habit of writing notes. When you write the notes, you say, I write the notes through the pen. Prakriti cannot evolve independently, and it is more an instrument of Purusha. And Purusha creates the world through Prakriti as an instrument. And in Vedanta, Purusha is said to be Karanam. Ultimately, Purusha is Karanam and Brahman is Jagat. Karanam in Vedanta. And it is not accepted by Sankhyas. For Sankhya, it is Achetana Karanavada. For Vedantin, it is Chetana Karanavada. For Vedanta, Chetanam Brahman alone, through Prakriti, creates the whole universe. Chetanam Brahman, through Prakriti, creates the whole universe in Vedanta. And that is what Vyasacharya presented through the second sutra. Tat Chetana Karanam Brahman. This is the same if you look at Prakriti as Shakti. And Shakti produces the world, and we attribute the Karanatvam to Shakti, the possessor, Brahman. When I speak, for example, that is but manifestation of speaking power, and the power alone evolves into speech. But I don't say speaking power speaks, but I say I speak. because speaking power is dependent on me. So Brahman alone is Jagat Karanam ultimately. This is the primary teaching of Vedanta. Prakriti is the cause of creation. It's a compromise solution. Prakriti as a cause of creation is a compromise solution. Since this can create some doubts, we will add some more features also to avoid certain possible doubts. We said Prakriti is dependent on Purusha. In Sankhya philosophy, Prakriti is independent. Swatantra Prakriti is Sankhya. And Paratantra Prakriti is Vedanta. So Prakriti is dependent on Purusha. And what kind of dependence it is? We say the dependence is Satya Mithya Sambandha. The higher form of reality is Satya and lower form of reality Mithya. That is the Sambandha. We are going to discuss this in detail later. Therefore, when we say Brahman is Karanam, through Maya or Prakriti, and Prakriti is Mithya, less real than Brahman, and Prakriti evolved world is also less real than Brahman, and Karana status of Brahman is also less real. Be careful. Karana status is less real. Not Brahman. The Karanam status of Brahman. Karana status of Prakriti is also less real. So Karana status of Brahman is because of less real Prakriti. So Prapancha is Mithya. Prakriti is Mithya. Prakriti Karanatvam is Mithya. Prakriti Dwara Brahmanaha Karanatvam is also Mithya. So from Vyavaharika Drishti, Brahman is Karanam through Prakriti. Therefore, Vyavaharika Drishtya, we are Chetana Karanavadinaha. From Vyavaharika Drishtya. Whereas Paramarthika Drishtya, Achetana Karanavadinaha. These are some of the important and relevant portions of this Adhikaram. Sankhyas, for Achetana Karanavada, he wants to take Vedic support. Whereas there are words supporting him, he is going to quote all of them. And we have to find ways to refute them. And one such support he takes is from where? From Kathopanishad. First chapter, third section, 10th mantra and 11th mantra. This is a common mantra that we all may be familiar. Of course, Kathopanishad people who attended the Sulasya, they know. Indriyebhya para hyartha, artyebhyascha param manaha, manasastu para buddhihi, Uddher Atma Mahan Paraha Mahata Paramavyaktam Avyaktat Purusha Paraha Purushanna Param Kinchit Sa Kashta Sa Paragatihi. This is the mantra. It's a popular mantra. These are two mantras where the Purusha is revealed by applying Sakachandra Nyaya or Arundhati Darshana Nyaya. I will talk about some of this in maybe later, not very important right now. So we will see the meaning of the mantra briefly. The Upanishad starts with Indriya, organs. And superior to sense organs are the sense objects, Vishayas. So organs and superior to them is sense objects. From one angle, superior to sense organs are sense objects because they influence the sense organs by creating desire. Therefore, sense objects are more powerful than sense organs. And superior to sense objects is what? Is the mind. And he quotes Yajnavalkya and Brihadaranyaka Upanishad in third chapter, second section, first mantra. Kati grahaha, katyati grahaha, ityashtav graha, ashtavati graha iti, eteshtav graha, ashtavati grahaha, katameta iti. This is a mantra. Kati grahaha, kati atyati grahaha, ityashtav graha, ashtavati graha iti, eteshtav graha, ashtavati graha, katameta iti. Is the question. Sense organs are called grahas here. Grahas are actually the ghosts. They are called grahas. So it keeps people under the control of the ghosts. Sense organs are the ghosts and they control the individuals. And sense objects are also called, they are called adigraha. Ghosts are the ghosts. The sense objects control the sense organs, sense objects possess the sense organs, and sense organs possess the individual. and each organ is supposed to be the graha, and atigraha controls the sense organs, and sense objects are superior to sense organs. This is the Arthabhaga Brahmana. This is there. So superior to sense objects is the mind. Superior to mind is the intellect, because mind is controlled by the intellect. Superior to intellect is the total intellect, that is called Mahatattvam. So superior to intellect is the total intellect, that is called Mahatattvam, that is the Samashti Buddhi, we can say. So this portion only is relevant to us. Superior to intellect is the total intellect called Mahatattvam, Samashti Buddhi. So superior to Mahat is Avyaktam. Avyaktam is the causal matter, Prakriti. Superior to Mahat is Avyaktam, the causal matter, that is Prakriti. And superior to Prakriti is Purusha. So Mahat, Prakriti, Purusha. That is the order. Here, the portion to be focused is what? Mahat, Avyaktam, Purushaha. Three words. Mahat, Avyaktam, Purushaha. These three words are common both to Vedanta and Sankhya also. Whether Veda talks Vedanta philosophy or Sankhya philosophy, that doubt will come. That is the question. Because all these three words are common. This talks about all these three. So whether Veda talks about Vedanta philosophy or Sankhya philosophy. Sankhya philosopher will say Veda talks about Sankhya Darshan. So this is the question here. And we have to refute. We have to refute Sankhya philosophy. That's what Vyasacharya is going to do. And Adi Shankaracharya enables us to understand that. So there is going to be a tug of war between Vedantins and the Sankhyas. So a lot of fun. So we are going to see that in the next class. O Vedadau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitah Tasya Prakritilinasya Parasamaheshwarah Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Shri Guru Namaha Hari Om Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.